Unbelievable. It's on the mate scoreboard, by the way. Award-winning Aussie service, two-point ball game.
So there could be a massive twist here at the end. Hickey rips it out of the air, thumps it towards half forward. A Franklin marker might be over. Gordon's got it. The kid with the raking left. He kicks across the face, and that works for Essendon. It gives the ball back to the Bombers with a three-point margin. They're going to have a roll of the dice here with 1 minute 12 left on the clock, final term.
Laverde kicks in, Cox is the target, Hickey closes too late. Nick Cox in game number 4, all 200 centimetres of him. Climbs to his feet with 60 seconds to go. He kicks right to the heart of the SCG. Reed didn't get enough on the spoil. McDonald, Tip and Woody. Oh, Cunningham got that out of the tackle and slapped it forward. Precious seconds, precious yards. Hickey will want to go over the line and out of bounds, and there's 43 seconds remaining now.
Question, it could have been deliberate as well. That's gone from the centre of the field and hit the junction of the boundary line and the 50 arc.
They would have torn the stands down if they'd paid that. John Longmire issuing instructions. They are on the point of the 50 with 43 seconds to go and a three-point lead. Hickey grabbed it out of the ruck. Did he have Pryor that time?
By ball.
No, he didn't. Fair dinkum. That has to be.
That has to be.
Thrown up again. Hickey rules the way again. Grabbed it out of the ruck. Sending it deep. 30 seconds to go. Climbing high. Oh, picked up by Goulden, and he flies and kicks it out on the full. And there's 23 seconds for someone to make a name for yourself.
They're switching the ball.
The big steal still on here. If Ham can get it, Florent gets there first. Did he tap it towards the boundary? He kept it in. Tapped it towards Warner. Tries to fend off. Caught. Down to 10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, ball out of play. They've got 7 seconds to take it coast to coast, the Bombers, for the big steal. Almost impossible. And there's a free kick off the ball. Essendon free kick off the ball. Merritt's been bumped. Didn't have it. So the seconds are about to start ticking. Merritt from half back. Oh, it's touched off the boot. It was smothered, and it's game over. Ball comes to Florent. Siren sounds, and the Swans have won a ripper. Another classic between these two. The Swans win it by 3 points. 11-17, 83. To Essendon, 12-8. 80.
For the Bombers between being 2-2 and being 1-3. Just 3 points as it turned out. I think the deserved winners though. 11-17, 83 to 12-8, 80 would suggest that. But try telling Ben Rutten and the Bombers that, they'll be very disappointed.
Yeah.
Don't hose down Midday Madness. What's the free kick count, Dale, if you can? Midday Madness tomorrow.
Are you ready for it? Yep. 29-16.
29-16.
29-16.
Big differential. I tell you what, the umpiring was an interesting one tonight. It was a tough game, though. Mm. Scrappy at times.
Buddy Franklin getting interviewed on the field by ex-teammate Jude Bolton. It was an intriguing game.
It was.
We'll go through the numbers and we'll dissect it. We're hanging around for a little while to talk all things about this game, but dominated and completely controlled in the midfield by the Sydney Swans, yet the inside 50s eventually ended up 56-53 in favour of the Swans. So just a plus three after dominating the clearances.
It's hard 47-24.
It's
hard to fathom that, isn't it, given how much they dominated.
Which, in really simplistic terms, what it says is the Bombers were losing the contest, but they were rebounding and controlling it once they won it across the half back line or through the middle of the ground.
What was the intercept count in there? Must be favoured Essendon strongly, I would imagine. No, it didn't. They found other ways of winning it back. But anyway, they had their opportunities as well, the Bombers, but the exhaustion shared by both teams out there in the middle of the ground
couple of old-timers in Luke Parker and Dyson Heppel having extended conversation. 11-17-83, the Swans defeating Essendon, who kicked more goals, 12-8-80, but wasn't enough to win the game. The Sydney Swans, 3 goals to Buddy Franklin, including what turned out to be the match winner. 2 to Sam Reed and Justin McInerney. Singles to Papley, Mills and Parker and Florent. And Errol Goulden kicked 3 behinds and Isaac Heaney 2. And he, of course, went off fairly early with what looks like to be probably a broken hand. For the Bombers, 3 goals to both Jake Stringer and Cale Hooker. 2 goals to Alec Waterman. And then singles to Cox, Smith, Parrish and Jones. Go through more of the stats, but leading disposal winner on the ground was Luke Parker with 32, and then Jordan Ridley had 28 for the Bombers. So,
we've got the crosstown rival next week, the Giants, who aren't travelling too well either for Sydney Swans.
5-0 after next week.
SCG, the Giants that are wounded. Yeah, absolutely. This is a big story involving the Sydney Swans, the way it's going
and
now.
And the week after, without looking too far ahead, they've got the Gold Coast Suns up at Metricon.
Wow. With a dominant ruckman against a team that hasn't got a ruckman. And that was one of the things tonight we talked about. Peter Wright didn't quite have the ruck craft to go with Hickey.
No. Playing some great football, Tom Hickey. Career best. I mean, he's played for nearly every football club in every state, so you'd like to think eventually he finds his spot. But he's...
It happens every year, though, doesn't it? A ruckman pops up and gets an opportunity and elevates himself. It's just trying to find the right one.
It is, but without going too deep on Tom Hickey, I've never seen him drift forward like he has with the Sydney Swans in the first 4 weeks. I've never seen him do the work around the ground consistently, marking, competing. I've never seen him grab the ball out of the ruck as much as he has in the first month of footy. And
he can do whatever he likes when he goes out of the ruck too.
Yeah.
Boy, he's given some latitude tonight.
All jokes aside, you're going to have a lot of calls tomorrow that you may struggle to justify or be able to explain what the umpire was thinking or the interpretation of particular rules, but there was a lot of them tonight that we were almost...
Yeah, we couldn't explain
speechless.
Them.
I don't know how to explain why that wasn't or why that was a particular time. I just felt there was a lot more tonight than normal.
Final scores 11-17, 83 to 12-8-80 from the SCG. We're going to have a listen to Buddy, I think, now, who's with Jude Bolton, courtesy of Channel 7.
Yeah, I'm here with Buddy Franklin. It's the ability to get up in a tight game, but you've just terrorised this opposition for 15 years.
17, isn't it?
17 years.
Wow, it was a super They played some pretty good football this year. We knew they were going to come out and have a good crack, and they certainly really stepped it up tonight. Look, Brian, grinding games out is really good. I think it's really a positive thing. We've got such a young team, but to fight our way through that and then win is a good sign.
You talk about those youngsters. You sat back last week, watched them take on the reigning premiers. Does it give you a bit of excitement, a bit of time to dare to dream or not?
No doubt. I think it's always good winning. It's obviously been we've struggled the last 2 years, but no doubt we've blooded a lot of young kids, and I think it's so exciting, obviously being one of the older boys of the footy club now. It's always good to see young kids come in and bring that excitement, and I'm loving it out here.
And we saw you have the week off last week. What about this week? You've got a bit longer time. How's the body feeling?
Away I go now. I think it was initially, that was always the plan. It was play one, miss one, and then away we go from now, which will be good.
Good luck next week.
Thanks, dude.
So Buddy Franklin there reflecting on this thrilling win by the Swans, 11-17, 83 to 12, 8-80. And the Swans making their way from the ground just down below here. Great feeling amongst the crowd, isn't it? I mean, the Swans, this will do a huge amount for footy in Sydney, because really, potentially, they were staring at a pretty barren year in Sydney with the Giants with their issues, and the expectations nowhere near high that the Swans could be, competing for the finals, let alone higher than that this year.
It's a great thing for Sydney and Sydney football. It's a horror show for the Giants, really, if they drop and the Sydney Swans are in the finals again.
Yep.
So one of the smallest rooms I've ever seen a team sing the club song in there.
That's their meeting room.
Yeah.
I was there a couple of weeks ago. So that's their meeting room. It's completely private. They sing it there and then they come out to their open space warm-up and cool-down area, which is normal size, a lot more spacious and a lot more area to move. But they don't sing that song in there for some particular reason, Hutto.
The cameras aren't there. Get the cameras around and then get the cameras
private.
Out.
Yeah, a little bit more private perhaps. But it was a really good game. I mean, you sort of, we go back 2 or 3 hours about what we were expecting coming into this game. You had second versus 10th and two teams that have had good history in regards to close games. And last year was just the 6 points in round two that went the way of the Dons. And 12-odd months later, 3 points in favour of the Swans. So it's a good effort. 4-0.
All right, we're into our AFL Nation post-game review for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends in Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. We'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll work through the categories, and happy to talk through some of the talking points from tonight's game and what else might be on Dwayne's show tomorrow afternoon. It might get people heading to their phones, but also, of course, a huge round of footy. We're only one game into round four, and the Swans sit atop the ladder. We'll go through that with more detail, but they are the only unbeaten team who has played 4 games so far, so they deserve their spot at the top of the ladder for now. Thrilling win over the Bombers by 3 points on AFL Nation.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Tyre Power. Always win with the free 5-minute tyre safety check.
Well, Nick D'Alessandro putting in the hard yards at the moment, trying to work out who's going to get the 3, 2, and 1. And we'll see what he comes up with shortly. Don't forget, Dashing Damien Watson will be with us when we close out to take your calls post our game review for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends and Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best, as we reflect on the 3-point victory to the Sydney Swans, who are now unbeaten on top of the AFL ladder with 4 wins, 16 points, a percentage of 133. The Bombers, of course, now just the 1 victory. And that's 2 close games they've lost. They lost, of course, to Hawthorn and now to the Swans, both by under a goal.
Mm.
Showed some signs, though, tonight. Mm. I mean, to go up to the SCG and with Franklin playing and the hot Sydney Swans, undefeated Sydney Swans, the signs are still pretty good. It just depends on what you do next. It's always about what you do next. Who have they got next?
They've got the Lions at the Gabba next, so that'll be a nice challenge for them next week.
Easy
but
one
but
next
I'm
week.
With I'm with you, Dwayne. Like, it's also what we thought the Bombers were. You go back 2 weeks ago, they get touched up by Port and it was all doom and gloom, and then they thumped the Saints last week. You never like to lose, and you particularly don't like to lose these close ones. But you're right, this is a young group. I mean, you go through some of the names that haven't even played 10 games yet. Definitely haven't played at the SCG. Definitely haven't played against the likes of a Kennedy and Parker that are just seasoned inside midfielders. Haven't played against a guy named Buddy Franklin. It's a great learning experience, if nothing else. Like, that's a little opportunity. Okay, that's how we travel, is it? Is that how we come up against the good sides and compete?
And we're only 4 games into Nick Cox's career, but we know he can play.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We know that he's going to be around for a long, long time. He can play.
Yep.
Okay, it's taken a bit longer for Archie Perkins. It's Harry Jones's second season at the club, so they've taken a bit longer, but the signs are there that they might have a really good one as well in Nick Cox. And that's to think that you think he'll play on the wing all his life, do you, Dale? Or when he gets a little bit of meat on the bone, he might end up as a forward?
It's a beautiful conversation because you feel like he could already do multiple roles. Maybe he's a version of the Blixarves which can work both ways, because you can actually become,
you're too good at too many positions.
Yeah, and you know, who are you and where do you...
Well,
you'll
never be all Australian then, because if you play too many positions, you don't end up being one.
But, I mean, he's a beautiful mover. And I covered the game last week and I'm watching him on the wing. I was like, how tall is that guy? And I thought, I'll just check his numbers. 200 centimetres. Yeah. He had a beautiful pickup last week. He did it again tonight and kicked a goal off the back of it with his non-preferred foot. We've worked it out. He is right-footed. So I can't wait to watch his career.
And I tell you what, when you look at what they've picked up, and they've still got Reed as a young key defender, Adam Saad, his spot has been replaced by Nick Hynde, who they got for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Saad's a better player than Hynde, arguably, but really that Hynde is playing really good football. He'd almost be in Dell's votes tonight, I would have thought.
Gee, you put some pressure on him now.
No, I've only done the top three.
He gives his heart and soul, though. He leaves nothing in the tank,
yeah,
does
true.
He? Absolutely.
What did he have, Dell?
Nick Hynde's numbers were 19 disposals, Hutto, 5 tackles and 5 inside 50s, just for his key stats they were.
Yeah, how many score involvements? Then have you
I'll
got
have
there?
To get a little bit more detail for you.
Okay.
Gee, you don't diving in deep now.
Well, I was just let him trying to pump him up and make me feel awkward that I don't have him in my best three.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
I should have posed you the question. Who would you have in your best three players of the night? Hutto?
Well, I don't want to ruin it because, you know, you'd give yours and everyone would realise who's a better.
So David Zaharakis couldn't get a game in that team tonight either.
A sub, yeah. I think they took the conservative route with him. He's played two games in the VFL and they thought, well, he could play a full game if he has to, but it wouldn't hurt him to have another week. So, which is, seems a bit weird, doesn't it?
Does.
Because you're either ready to play or you're not.
Well, he'll probably play tomorrow, does he?
I suppose so.
VFL teams will be picked. I think I saw, did I see Paddy McCartan being picked in a VFL team for the weekend as well?
For Sydney?
Not sure.
Don't know. Just out of curiosity, and I'm sure I should know this, if you are the sub for an AFL game, are you allowed to then go back because you've technically
not
been...
Not in the sample. In every other comp.
Yeah. Except the sample.
Except
gotcha.
The sample.
Why do they say that for?
I don't know, but it's just the sample kind of, it's their own competition. They run it. They can do what they like. They've got different rules like last touch out of bounds and a couple other things. They're
their own entity, aren't
they?
They
are. So like the Vatican. They can do what they like. But it is a little weird.
They run their own show over there, Anthony.
Compared to the Vatican.
That's correct. Well, it's a city of churches.
There you
so
go.
You're probably
Thank
right.
you.
Pretty
that's good analogy right. there.
Yep.
Or an interesting, I'm not sure it's good, but I like it.
I definitely don't know it's good.
What was our Furphy unbelievable moment tonight, boys? Furphy refreshing ale. Unbelievable.
Well, I just touched on it. I'm going with the Nick Cox goal.
Okay.
And for the simple reasons that a man that is 200 centimetres shouldn't be able to pick the ball up at that speed, off his shoelaces, balance and kick a goal from 35 on his non-preferred foot while getting chased by the opposition. It's rare. And you asked me that question, and just to finish it, I can't wait to see what they do with him. I don't know what the answer is, and maybe there's 25 really good answers, but I'd love to know and see what they're thinking of him in 5 years' time, what they're actually grooming him for. But that was the Furphy unbelievable moment, Furphy refreshing ale.
What about the MEGT Rookie of the Night, your local apprenticeship experts?
I'm going with Chad Warner, who I thought...
The Chad.
The Chadwick. Any man that's named Chad is okay in my books. He had 23 disposals. I'll go through a few other things because I think he might get a mention in the last category as well.
Okay.
So I'll save a little bit there.
So you're getting a vote. MEGT, supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years. The goal of the game for instant windscreens. Broken windscreen? Call Instant Windscreens 132-444.
Going back to the first quarter, and it was Darcy Parrish who kicked that lovely goal from the boundary line.
Didn't you say you didn't even aim for it? Didn't you say you didn't mean to kick it?
I would hate
How
to
can
ever
you give that goal of the game
because
you...
I would hate to ever take away a goal like that from someone, even though I don't believe that it was necessarily intended to go straight through the middle from the boundary line. I'm still going to pay that. And Hutto and I can have a conversation later about whether it was deliberate or not.
Okay. The tackle or tackler of the game for Toro for the home ground advantage. You can count on Toro.
I'm going to go. So there was there was a lot of really good tackles. Not all of them were paid holding the ball, which is another conversation. I'm going to go with Will Snelling, who had 9 of them. So I'm just going to go with weighted numbers. 9 tackles to Snelling.
The Bendix breaks big moment. Confidence stopping, that's Bendix breaks.
2.5 minutes to go in the game. A man by the name of Buddy Franklin went back against the grain and took a mark over 2 opponents. Went back and kicked the goal to put the Swans comfortably in front. That was with 2.5 minutes to go. I thought that was a Bendix break. Big moment, Hutto.
Tell you what, the scenes from the Essendon look like they've lost the grand final, don't they?
I actually like it.
So do I.
Yeah, it's good. I don't necessarily want to see, you know, dancing and...
And Heppel's
singing and
speak, is he? Yeah, he is. Heppel's the only one standing up. Everyone's sitting down and he's...
addressing them.
Yeah. Mm. They couldn't be more spread, could they?
Officials.
You'd love to be in that change room.
Parents
to hear how
in
they,
the room as well, I think.
Yeah, love to hear how those conversations go.
Yeah, very, very interesting. You could do his voice still from there and see what he's saying. Mm. Sustained performer for Host Plus, we go with you.
I went with Dane Rampey, so I went a little bit... On a different tangent here, because his numbers aren't through the roof, but every time we spoke about him, outside of maybe once or twice, he had a countless amount of spoils. So I just love the way he goes about it. It's non-negotiable. First bounce, last second of the game, it's the same attitude. I thought he was fitting for that category, Hutto.
And as Duane said, he didn't need to go up the post this time to spoil. That's for Host Plus, not Post Plus. Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. Unmissable moments for Drink Wise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise.
Nick Hines Quarter three run and bounce from the half back line all the way to inside 50. I think he hit Jake Stringer, who eventually missed the goal, but that was a brilliant moment of football, an unmissable moment.
I would have thought that'd be enough to get him in the votes, Nick Hine.
Let me just he's still not in it, unfortunately.
Our injury wrap for Sudox Active, muscular and joint pain relief cream. Don't forget to follow the directions for use. And if pain persists, see your doctor.
Isaac Heaney with what we have.
That's not on the screen.
Isaac Heaney, who we think has a suspected broken right hand. He went off early in the game and was replaced by the medical sub in Bell. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for Isaac Heaney.
Well, is that a little
yes.
play on it? Because I don't think he can cross them at the moment.
Well, yeah, probably right.
All right, the nation awaits the 3, 2, and 1 for safety steel sheds designed to save, built to last.
I've given Chad Warner one vote, who finished with 23 disposals, 6 clearances, 6 tackles, and 4 inside 50s, Hutto. I went 2 votes to Jordan Ridley, who I think is just coming on leaps and bounds, even though he won the best and fairest last year. I think he's becoming even better. 28 disposals and all the other stats that you love from a defender. And the 3 votes, I thought Luke Parker was best on ground. 32 disposals, 6 clearances, 7 inside 50s, 3 tackles, and a special mention to Zach Merritt, who I thought was really consistent, and Tom Hickey as well. But they were my 3-2-1. Chad Warner, Jordan Ridley, Luke Parker.
No. And Nick Hine?
Nick Hine's still not in the best 3 players, Hutto, unfortunately, but you are a huge fan of his and I can see why.
Thank you, Del. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you to everyone. A great win, a great finish for the Swans. They get home by 3 points. Don't forget, Damien Watson standing by to take your calls. Get on the line now. And as we head that way, we might recap ahead of another big weekend of footy, how they got the job done tonight. The Swans, unbeaten so far.